Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today, we have the director of franchise development with Home Inspection, Matt Cook. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So folks have many different impressions of what franchising is. Oftentimes it's fast food. I don't really understand that there's a lot of different services. I often joke, as long as it's ethical, moral, and makes money, it can be franchised. And that includes even services that aren't all that sexy up front, right? And so the reality is, franchising is everywhere, and nobody puts their hand up and says, hey, I'm going to get into franchising. It has a unique way of finding you. So Matt, just curious, how did franchising find you?
Sure. Well, through marriage, if that's a good answer. So yeah, I was in the military for a couple of years. And when I got out, I struggled to find my place, right? Which I think is a lot of people, maybe your listeners here, that trying to figure out if franchising is right for them or something of that effect. But I wasn't sure where I fit in to the civilian world outside the military and didn't have the education or the training to go pursue the goals and things that I wanted to. And found myself in sales because the harder you work, the more money you make. I did well in it. But then through marriage, I met my wife when I was in the military, but her dad actually started Home Team Inspection Service. So many years after we had been married and had kids, my father-in-law approached me and talked really about the same things that I talk about with our franchise owners. You could spend every hour of the day working for someone else and make it a good dollar and taking care of your family. Or you could spend those hours of the day actually building a return on your investment for the next generation. And basically told me, hey, I may or may not pay you what you're getting paid now. You may be able to do better elsewhere. But at the end of the day, would you have interest in building our kids and grandkids' future every single day? And so that's why I'm here at Home Team. That's why I found my way here. I started in franchise sales because sales was my forte and bringing on the right people, the right franchise owners. And then now I've worked myself up to really an operations director role where kind of manage a lot of the day-to-day operations here at the home office.
That is certainly important work. My goodness, home office is the core. What you talked about, right? Which is achieving the American dream through franchise ownership. And your father-in-law sounds like a great man. And what an awesome way for you to build an empire and to build a legacy and to do it with other business owners. Was that different for you? I know that, hey, love sales, the more you work, the more you earn. But when it comes to franchising, yes, sales, like any organization, is very much a big part of any franchise company. But what I'm saying is, was that different for you learning? You talked about being at home office, just the franchise relations aspect of franchising. Was that new, different for you? Can you speak to that a little bit?
It's definitely different than being a regional sales manager in a large company. You know, from that perspective, I worked a lot on my own. I had my own goals, my own tasks, my own discipline that resulted in my own reward. A little bit different when you've got a lot of people that kind of look to you for guidance and leadership. A little different when you've got, obviously, employees here at the home office, but obviously our franchise owners, but even their families, right? They're expecting that home office to have that next new thing that's going to help them grow their business to benefit those families even further under that umbrella. So it is quite a bit different. But I would also say, back to my military experience prior, I was in the Marine Corps. I was an instructor, a lead instructor at a schoolhouse, and was teaching people basically to go be leaders, to be team leaders, squad leaders, platoon leaders for deployments. And those sorts of experiences really kind of benefited me quite a bit coming into home team, kind of working with the staff, working the relationships, and realizing that it's not as simple as a boss-employee relationship. It's we're all working together for the same goal here. And how do we build up the team? How do we encourage each other together? So it was a little bit different than sales, but not immensely different from my experience in the military.
Right. Yeah. And at the core of that is community.
Absolutely true.
Also, a collaborative community.
Yeah.
Can you speak to what that collaboration looks like within your guys' organization?
Sure. Well, from a community standpoint, I mean, we are a little bit different from other franchisors. We do not, what I mean by that is we're not equity owned, we're not capital owned, you know, it's a privately held organization. Our family has the same goals, desires for legacy as any of our franchise owners do. So they feel the camaraderie with the family that owns the entirety of the business, because we obviously don't grow unless they grow, right? So, but even internally, we make sure through a franchise advisory council, through different regions, but even then through a forum online, I mean, many different ways to connect our franchise owners with mentors locally, mentors in their state, mentors regionally. And that really builds that community. They get together on that forum and they talk back and forth, and they talk throughout the year with the same people that they opened up with originally, maybe in a different state, but they were in the same class. So that community, it starts there in day one when you start your franchise and you're getting into this entrepreneurship thing together with other people and other peers in different areas and walks of life. But then it continues even through our business coaching, our national summit at the beginning of every year, and just many different ways we try to bring people together. But when you've got that common goal and that community, everybody wants to build business together. Everybody wants to help out their neighbor versus keeping it all to themselves.
Yeah, that is certainly the superpower of a franchise organization. Everybody rowing in the same direction. Would you mind sharing with us a little bit about what makes your organization so special?
Well, it's the people. I mean, first of all, it's the people. What we do inherently in the field is different. Our model is different. The way we operate business is different. But at the end of the day, there's a great book called Who, Not How. I feel like I've been talking about it a lot lately. It's been on my mind, even in staff meetings. But it's much more important to bring on the right people that are good for your culture and for your community, as like we were just talking about, than worrying about their experience level and their background and whether or not they have the resume for the opportunity or the resume for the franchise system. So for us specifically, it's the people that makes us special. We're out there doing home inspections. This is the biggest purchase of somebody's life. You talk about the American dream. I firmly believe the American dream is not dead, even though people try to say it over and over again. At the end of the day, that home ownership, that independence, that family core is extremely important. And when you're thinking about the property that someone's buying, potentially the first time they buy a home, a lot of people don't know what they're buying, right? And they're buying kind of blind. And it's the biggest purchase of their life. And it is an emotional purchase. You begin to picture your kids and your future family in this home. Having our team be able to come in there and really quell fears, really ease the minds of the people buying the homes and even the real estate agents involved in the deal. That's a very difficult thing to do. And it takes expertise and people skills. And so our people in general around the country are really what makes us special. But from a home team perspective, from a model perspective, our organization is quite unique compared to other home inspection companies. And about 90 to 93% of our industry is owner-operator. About the 7% is franchises. And everyone else outside of Home Team, franchise-wise, sells a model that's geared towards an individual being an inspector. My opinion is that if you're buying that franchise system, you're buying a job. If you're not building something bigger than yourself, you're buying a job. With us here, our goal is not for you to be the inspector. It's to build teams. Obviously, you've got to start somewhere. You've got to learn the business. You got to start that first team being on the team. But the goal is to get Nick off the inspection, right? So that you can then build value and relationships with real estate agents and that referral network. And you become more of a leader in your community and in your business than you are an operator in your business. And then down the road, whether it's you're giving that organization to your children or you're selling that business, it's a very tangible, sellable asset that someone could purchase. So that model of a team approach is unique in of itself in the field, unique from our industry, allows us to be faster, more accurate, more efficient. But at the end of the day, those teams, as you're building that business, allow you to actually have a business versus a job. To me, that's the most important thing.
Right. Absolutely. That empire builder, owner operator, there's obviously a model for every type of entrepreneur. Again, that's one of the many different aspects of franchising that is so awesome is you have a blueprint on how to scale value in your community and to do it in different types of models, right? And all the support to do that across the business so that you can work on it is built into the foundation of home office. Because Matt said it, right? They don't grow if their franchise partners don't grow. And that is what makes franchising so powerful, is mutually beneficial. And yeah, that is awesome. Love that. And I want to transition here and get your thoughts on, you know, we talked about creating an experience for a new franchise owner and doing that in community, right? And now adding in this piece here of how they go about doing it, the blueprint, if you will. And so you take all of that, it is an experience. Right? You can call it the American dream. You said some say it's dead.
Disagree.
It depends on the experience and the situation in the community and the support and so many different elements of a flourishing franchise organization. I love that you guys are family owned and truly invested in the franchise owners, important stakeholders. Those stakeholders didn't get trumped in your organization. And I shouldn't say that as an if then, but clearly within your organization, you know, that is how things are. So how many, speaking of owner operator, empire builder, all these different models, how many average territories do the owners within your company, how many do they own?
Yeah, I mean, most of our owners actually only own one territory. Now, there are some that own two. The way we do territories, though, as it's, again, different than the rest of our industry, ours are generally about three times larger than any of our competition in the home inspection space. By default, right? Because if you're an owner-operator or an independent inspector, you're just doing enough jobs for yourself on an annual basis. There's no reason for you to have an entire city. One of our competitors, I could sell 5 to 10 franchises in Cincinnati where I live. For us, we have one owner in Cincinnati. So that one territory, the way we build them, allows that individual to really not have to reinvest in real estate, essentially, in order to succeed. We give them everything they need in the beginning to grow beyond that. So one territory is the average. But most of the ones that have two territories are generally a situation where maybe they bought half the city originally, and then they've built a business, and why not just buy the other half of the city? I'd rather protect my investment. I'd rather have this entirety to myself. And then they end up going on and becoming some of our larger franchise owners. So not a requirement for success to buy more than one territory, but a lot of the ones at the larger scale do, because then they own the entire city.
I assume that folks are adding on additional territories when they have more of that empire mindset. It is really great that you guys give really large territories. My goodness, they can really focus on their investment being in their operation and having a large territory to do just that. What does it cost, the initial investment, to become an owner? And what is the franchise fee? What is the initial investment? What does that look like?
Sure. Yeah, multiple tiers, multiple different size territories. So we have what's called a limited territory, a standard, and a premium. I think most people buy premium by default because they never want to view themselves as standard or limited. But that being said, most people are in that standard or premium territory range. A standard territory is a $55,000 franchise fee and a $9,800 startup package. A premium territory is $65,000 franchise fee and that same $9,800 startup package. So essentially, it's a $10,000 difference for 50% more homes with the premium territory. But, you know, realistically, we give you everything you're going to need to own, operate, and run that first team with that initial investment. So you're really not going to have to go out. You're not going to have to pay for more training. You're not going to have to buy more tools. Most people utilize their own vehicle in the beginning. So we pay to get that vehicle wrapped in the beginning. We buy them apparel and business cards and all the things that you could need in order to get set up and operate with that first territory. So the hope being, on our end at least, you're not having to reinvest a lot of capital in your business outside of marketing and things locally for the first couple of years. We want to give you everything we can up front in that, call it a $55,000 to $75,000 startup range.
Yeah, $55,000 to $75,000 in total initial investment.
Yes.
And that's for—
Yeah, it's a little cheaper than some other opportunities. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That is fantastic. Thanks for sharing the initial investment. What else would you like to mention? Just features, different elements of what makes your organization so special?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things we mentioned already is our model, right? That team approach. Realistically, it began because our owner realized that if your business, and he was a average everyday tradesman starting the business, he was a $4 an hour construction worker with no college degree. And he realized, if I'm just the same as everyone else, there's no incentive for a client to use me or a real estate agent to refer me over anybody else. And just coming in and saying, well, you know, I do a better job or I have better tools or I'm going to be more, it doesn't really matter to the real estate agent. It doesn't really matter to the buyer. You're going to end up competing on price. And so what he ended up doing was asking the real estate agents that he was working with what he could do differently, what he could do better. And all that feedback led to the fact that there's two main pain points in the home inspection industry. The first one is it takes home inspectors far too long to get on site. The average home inspector is usually booked about a week out. And when you think about it from a sales perspective, time kills deals. The last thing a buyer needs to be doing is sitting on their hands for a week after they just made the biggest purchase of their life, right? They're just going to be sitting there worrying about it, right? Watching Fixer Upper on TV and getting scared to death by all the craziest situations you could ever find. And that's not good for the real estate agent either, who wants to close a deal, right? So getting there faster is obviously, you know, something that was paramount to them. The second thing really was the average inspection, even today, for an owner-operator takes 3 to 4 hours to complete. For home team, it's on average, it's less than 90 minutes. And that's because one person can do it in 3 or 4 hours, two people can do it in half the time, and hence the team approach, right? So we bring two people. That allows us to do faster inspections, more efficient inspections, more accurate inspections. And then we can do 3 or 4 inspections per day per team, hence the empire building with teams. You can do far more revenue and far more profit as a business owner that way while taking better care of the client. So that's super important, that what we do is not just trying to do it faster or just make more money. It's literally providing a better service than anybody else can get in the biggest purchase of their life. while also at the same time benefiting us financially as the business owner makes more money. But really the other thing I'd mention, probably the second thing, it kind of tailors into that. Home Team has always been at the forefront of everything new in the home inspection space. We were the first company to create, well, the team model, obviously, but first company to innovate into technology. In the early 2000s, we hired a guy back when it was Palm Pilots, pocket PCs, and you're putting a server in your closet at home with floppy disks in a Ziploc bag for when you know, everything crashed, you could reload your tower. It has come a long way. You know, we've been in the cloud for 10 years now. You know, so we wrote that first report writing software and business tracking and management software to today, where we're actually now writing the next generation of software that nobody else in the industry knows about yet. Should be coming out soon, but you know, our owners will have the ability to incorporate a lot of new things up into and including AI. You know, we've got a contract with OpenAI, who actually created ChatGPT. So trying to take in all the new exciting things in the industry, but not just doing them because they're interesting or doing them because they're the fad, finding a way to incorporate that into making us better at what we do and more efficient and more accurate. And I really think that next generation of systems that's getting ready to push out to all of our franchise owners Q4 will be a really big advancement for home inspections. So the main thing I would just say, if there's a trend across the history of Home Team, is that we're never comfortable with just being the other guy or being the other home inspector in the area. We are wanting to push the envelope. We want to make sure that the client is provided with the best experience possible. But at the same time, our owners are provided with the best systems and training and procedures to go out there and be the best business owner that they can be. If that includes new systems and new software or new people or growth, or willing to do all those things to make sure that our people have what they need.
Right. And to do that outside of your organization as well, you know, really standardizing, innovating, and modernizing the space through technology. When was the initial, how many years ago was it? I think it's decades now, right?
The software?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're probably talking 2001, 2003. When there is where we started building it, and then it was a labor of love for a while there. You know, we had a whole part of our building here, which is just coders and programmers putting stuff together. And now we have development firms we work with. Believe it or not, that company that we ended up developing that system with, we were their first client. And now they're publicly traded. They're a large organization in the home services space, or owned by a public entity. And really neat to even see your partners from that perspective, who you made the first system with and you were their first customer. You see them elevated to great heights as well. So kind of neat to see that. But over 20 years ago, kind of crazy to think about the innovation along the way, but the biggest innovation amongst that 20 years was something called the cloud, right? Amazon Web Servers, and being able to house everything there and much more robust and reliable system. But nowadays, I mean, it's going to be just 10 times better with this new stuff we're getting to come out with. So
much of what makes an organization successful is leadership, right? And that's the beautiful aspect of a franchise organization. There's a two-way mutual exchange, and that outcome is enterprise value. And together, growing the brand. And so as a franchisor, leadership across the national organization, the brand behind Home Office, which supports your local business as a franchise partner, but that leadership, it makes all the difference. An exciting indicator of that within your organization is technology and white collar sophistication in a blue collar space.
That's right.
And so as you're leaning into that two-way partnership as the franchisor, from that leadership perspective, you're going wide, boarding as many viable territories to qualified partners that will contribute to growing the enterprise value. And on the flip side, right, franchise partners going deep in their market, and together, wide, deep, that leads to market share, ultimately, that is producing more value
Right.
exchanged in the marketplace. And that's what we're talking about here. We talked about franchising being a vehicle that not everybody realizes can deliver tremendous value within the marketplace,
right.
especially in these non-sexy businesses where the marketplace is used to a fragmented, non-standardized experience. So that often means that there is a lack of trust in the sales process and low benchmarks for you to hit and create customer satisfaction on the back end, because the bar is low. You show up, you do a good job, you answer your phone, right? That is already next level. Now you start adding in things like this innovative technology and the white collar sophistication. This is just one aspect of the white collar sophistication. And we're talking about technology. And you look at the marketing, the branding, the services offered, and you name it. That is what makes franchising so special. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing what makes your organization so special. Was certainly looking forward to sharing your organization's story. But I want to ask you a question, you know, as we're wrapping up and folks have clearly got to know your organization and glimmers of yourself and that coming together. It's a family business. I think it's pretty clear that you're living out, building a legacy, scaling an empire, and living the American dream. So thank you for being an inspiration. Thank you for committing to leveling up. And thanks for supporting the franchise partners and doing it there in the home office. You do such important work. So thank you for your service. And yeah, so as we're wrapping up here, would you mind sharing your greatest accomplishment?
Sure. We're talking offline. We talked about a couple different things there, but really for me, and I think it's within our organization, it's reflected because people know me well. It's all about family. So for me, growing up, I did not have the greatest of situations. There's a lot of people in this life that you would not know when you meet them that they had a tough go of it when they were young and they had to pull themselves out of it, right? And so I would just, without getting into too much detail here at the end, I would just say that the military was good for me. I needed that structure. And since then, the people that my life has surrounded me with, the good mentors that I have latched on to, have really allowed me to be the best father and the best husband that I can be. And really, at the end of the day, regardless of what happens here, raising those kids that I've got at home and being the best husband I can to my wife is best accomplishment of my life.
Right. Absolutely. What a testament. Would you consider yourself an underdog?
Maybe. I don't love the title, but anybody could win. I mean, that's, like I said, without getting into too much detail, there were times when I was a kid that you would have thought that I would have been a part of the system, you know, the very next day. And to just be an inspiration to people around that, you know, hey, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you look like or what your background is, you can do great things. You just got to work hard. So hopefully I'm an inspiration.
I think what is pretty neat about your story is you leaned into an area of your life that you knew you could break some generational curses. And you're that dude
True.
In your family. And
True.
So many awesome ways that you serve in your personal life, in your professional life. And congratulations on all of your success.
Thank you.
It is truly inspiring. And it is an example of the American dream and what a franchise organization can do when everybody is rowing in the same direction, when there is alignment in creating real value in the marketplace. It is certainly life-changing in your life, life-changing in mine. But what an inspiring story that you have. And so thanks for sharing. I know I certainly leveled up today. So thanks for being on the show. If folks would like to get in touch with you or more about your special organization, how can they do that?
Yeah, simple, www.hometeam.com or just hometeam.com. I'm right there on the page there. You can find my information, but more directly, just Matt, M-A-T-T, at hometeam.com.
Matt at hometeam.com. You heard
it's easy,
it,
simple.
super simple, and I really appreciate it. Please, if you like this show, smash the like button, subscribe to the channel. It's how we are able to continue growing and bringing on thought leaders like Matt today. And as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show.